Are the rhythms of your life producing the kind of person that you really want to become? If not, stay with us. We're going to learn sacred rhythms that actually allow the life of Christ to be formed in you. That's today on Living on the Edge.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and today we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. You know, we all live life in rhythms. People, work, school, entertainment, we have patterns we naturally fall into. The question is, have the patterns you're living in resulted in you becoming the person you want to be? Chip's teen teaching with his son Ryan, who's a pastor in his own right of a vibrant young church in the Bay Area. So today, Ryan brings us our message, Cultivating a Heart of Dependency.
It's been a little bit of an odd year for me. In January, I had a large shell fall on me. I got a concussion. Most of you know that. And then about a month ago, I was playing basketball. I broke my nose. And then I had all the concussion stuff come again. And so it's been odd having a head injury where I can't do the normal rhythms that I'm accustomed to. I can't run at the same pace that I've always been running at. In fact, there was one week that I spent a good 3 days just sitting in a dark room, in silence, by myself. Man, is that hard. And as my rhythms of life got interrupted and I was no longer able to run at the same pace that I was accustomed to, I began to wrestle with a few questions in that dark room. First question, are the rhythms of my life producing the kind of person I long to be? You ever have time to stop long enough to not just be caught up in your rhythms? Not just be going along with life, but to actually ask, what are the rhythms in my life producing? Are the rhythms of my life producing the kind of person I long to be in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? Well, if the kind of person I long to be, I ask this question, are the rhythms of my life producing the life of Christ in me? Are they actually shaping me into becoming more like Him? Like the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I might have got all of them for the first time in my entire life. Like, don't you want to be that kind of person? That's the life of Christ, filled with joy, overflowing with love, like supernatural kindness in the face of hate. Don't you want to be that kind of person? And are the rhythms of my life producing the life of Christ in me? See, the truth is, our lives are not a product of our dreams, desires, or ambitions. Our lives are a product of the rhythms or habits we have embraced. James Clear, in his New York Times bestselling book, Atomic Habits, writes this, "Habits are the compound interest of self-improvement. The same way that money multiplies through compound interest, the effects of your habits multiply as you repeat them. They seem to make little difference on any given day, and yet the impact they deliver over the months and years can be enormous. It is only when looking back 2, 5, or perhaps 10 years later that the value of good habits and the cost of bad ones becomes strikingly apparent." And so let me ask you, as we start this morning, are the rhythms of your life producing the kind of person you want to be? Are the rhythms of your life producing the kind of friend you want to be? Are the rhythms of your life producing the kind of spouse you want to be? The kind of parent you want to be? Are the rhythms of your life producing the life of Christ in you? The challenge and the problem with some of these questions is our world has an inherent rhythm to it, doesn't it? A repetition, a constant beat, a pace that we get caught up in. And instead of thoughtfully engaging with our rhythms, what happens, our tendency is we just get caught up into the rhythm of the world around us. I will do whatever it takes, work as many hours as it takes, neglect my family to be successful. In fact, we do it with our kids as well. I will do whatever it takes for my kids to have as many experiences, get into the right school. Yes, I'll live there. No, I won't live there because of the school or the sport. And the problem is it's success at the expense of significance. And then the rhythm, because success is our core idol, busyness then is worn as a badge of honor. What happens when, what is your knee-jerk response when somebody asks, how you doing? Busy. And if you want to Christianize it, you do this. Busy but good. Like somehow that made it better. No, I'm busy but good. It's a good busy, not a bad busy. And we run insane, hectic lives from one thing to the next, and it outpaces our souls. And what happens is we end up overworked yet underfulfilled, doesn't it? When you stop and you allow your soul to catch up, isn't it true that there's this aching, this longing for more? In fact, many of us don't want to stop because we don't want to feel. And so we stay busy. Or we don't want to face reality. And at the end of the rainbow, the pot of gold, and at the heart of the rhythms is financial freedom's the goal. We want to be able to do whatever we want, whenever we want. We want to be able to have this financial independence. And so I'm going to embrace a rhythm I would never choose in hopes of one day being free to do whatever I choose. And what happens is we have more money, we have more stuff, we have more, and yet fundamentally less peace. Parents, by the way, we buy this logic. I want to provide my kids a better life than I had. I want to provide them things that I never had. And so I'm going to work an insane amount of time. I'm going to neglect them during their formative years so I can be present when they don't even care whether I'm present or not. There's a reason they're called formative years. It is the years that your child and my children are being formed. And if you're not around to form them, who is? What is? Are the rhythms of your life producing the kind of person you fundamentally long to be? Jesus said this, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full, life abundantly, life overflowing." Like the purpose of the Christian life, the purpose of Jesus's coming here is not to be this Debbie Downer, but he wants to give you life. He wants you to flourish in ways that you have never yet imagined. See, the life of Christ in you, in me, is the flourishing life, is the abundant life, is the overflowing life. And could it be what's still in your life, killing your joy, like destroying the flourishing in you is the rhythms that you've embraced? At the heart, I believe the question we must ask isn't, are the rhythms of my life producing the life of Christ in me, but what are the rhythms? What are the rhythms that will produce the life of Christ in me? What are the rhythms that will produce the kind of person I fundamentally long to be? And this is precisely where Jesus has us in the Sermon on the Mount. And he paints a picture of those who are truly flourishing. And they're not necessarily who you think. And then he moves on and talks about like flourishing, blessed life to the full type people have an impact. Like they live this significant life. They're like light. Like a city set on a hill. They make this incredible impact. They're like salt and light. And then You begin to ask, well, what does salt and light really look like? What does it look like to live this life of impact? And it's actually a counterintuitive, countercultural way of living life where flourishing are able to bless those who persecute them. They're able to love their enemies. They're able to stand up in the face of injustice. Like there's this incredible way that they're able to live and to walk and to love where others are trying to take and to keep. How do you do that? I mean, Jesus ended it this way, right? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How? And have you ever wondered how the life of Christ is actually formed in you? That it's not just you pray a prayer and hope everything just magically changes. And Jesus is going to invite us to embrace some sacred rhythms that form the life of Christ in us. In fact, let me give you a little definition for a sacred rhythm. A sacred rhythm are spiritual practices. Some of you would know them as spiritual disciplines. I shy away from that simply because discipline has such a negative connotation, but it's actually a very helpful spiritual practices that help cultivate. Notice, cultivation is a process over a course of time, a habit that where you start here and you keep doing it, and when looking back over 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you see that your life has been transformed and changed over the course of the process. And we treat the spiritual life like a magic pill. I take this and I wake up and I'll be, woo! I read my Bible, Ingram, and nothing changed. I prayed once. Sacred rhythms are spiritual practices that help cultivate over the course of time the life of Christ and the follower of Jesus. Dallas Willard would say it this way. The path of spiritual growth and the riches of Christ is not a passive one. Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. Effort is action. Earning is attitude. You have never seen people more active than those who have been set on fire by the grace of God. The disciplines of the spiritual life are simply practices that prove to be effectual, enabling us to increase the grace of God in our lives. And so Jesus shifts his attention on the Sermon on the Mount to sacred rhythms for us that will produce the life of Christ in us. He opens it up this way. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, if you got your Bibles, you can open up there. If not, you can follow along in your notes. He says this, be careful. Do not practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. He starts out about sacred rhythms with a warning. Be careful, watch out, alert, warning. And here's the reason why. Jesus understands something about these spiritual practices that we naturally in our human tendency will fall into. It is easy to shift the focus on these. He's saying there is a way to do these that will produce the life of Christ in you, and there's a way to go about these that will produce a religious hypocrite. Watch out. My old drum instructor, I grew up as a drummer. Since I had a drum instructor, that makes sense. Thank you very much. You didn't need to explain that, Ryan. Thank you. He used to tell me this, Ryan, practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Anyone who's coached kids knows this. Your form and technique matters, right? I mean, if you're shooting a ball like this, you can do it all day long. Form and technique matters tremendously. And here's what Jesus is saying. Watch your form. So what are we to watch out for? Not to practice, there's our word, put into practice, discipline, your righteousness, your the sacred rhythms, how? In front of others to be seen by them. Here's what Jesus is saying. Why you do something is just as important as what you do. The why, the heart motive, is so important. Don't do spiritual sacred rhythms so other people think well of you. Do them for your heavenly Father. See, the danger of sacred rhythms is they can turn into a form of religious piety to show everyone else just how spiritual you are. You ever been a part of a small group where someone, when they pray, it doesn't sound like they're talking to God, but they're trying to impress people? He says, secrecy is a safeguard for hypocrisy. Secrecy and keeping something that is beautiful between you and the Father is an antidote for hypocrisy and to keep your heart tender towards Him, to keep your motives pure. Now, some of you are going, like, Ingram, you just talked about it. What about this whole let your light shine before men business, right? Didn't Jesus just earlier say, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds? So am I supposed to do everything in secret? No, just finish the verse. And glorify your Father in heaven. The issue isn't whether in secret or private. Let's finish the verse here. It says, do not practice your righteousness, how? In front of others to be seen by them. You have to wrestle with the question, why am I doing this? Like, why am I helping this homeless person out? Is it because I want other people to think well of me, or I just want to make God really big in this moment? See, the issue is not public or private. The issue is heart motivation. And heart motivation is always going to get back to God. And if you're doing something in public, it is for Him to get the glory alone, not you. And anytime there's a hint of like, man, I could have mixed motivation, I'm just going to do it in secret. I'm just going to do it in private so that it's just before my Father. In fact, it makes so much more sense what Jesus is saying when we finish it out. He says, if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Sacred rhythms are transformational when you move them from religious piety to relational intimacy. The Sermon on the Mount introduces the theme as God is Father. In the next section, you're going to see 9 different times Jesus refers to God as Father as your heavenly Father. This isn't a distant, like God somehow to be appeased. It's an invitation into an intimate, personal relationship with your heavenly Father who loves you. And when we turn sacred rhythms, spiritual disciplines, and just to religious forms and checklist, it strips it of its transformational power. And when you go, okay, I just want to get into God's word to know you, God. I want to know you more. I want to become more like you. I want to be more like my heavenly Father.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip and his son Ryan Ingram will be back in just a minute to talk more about today's message from our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. If the burdens of life are pressing in and you need to make some changes, Sacred Rhythms will help you do that. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll learn how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that unlock a deeper, more satisfying relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, as I listened to Ryan today, I'm really glad you asked him to bring this message on tithing. You know, for some, this is going to be a brand new practice. But it also makes me wonder, for people who already have this practice in place, do we have anything that'll help them take a next step?
Well, Dave, as a matter of fact, we at Living on the Edge are absolutely committed to not only helping new Christians in their journey, but people that maybe have been in the Bible for quite a while, or people that are saying, you know, I want more. I'm reading devotionally, but, you know, there's a difference between reading the Bible and hearing God's voice.
Right.
And so I created an online video course. It's a brief one, very accessible, called How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture. And what we do in this little online course is help people literally open their Bible, read it for themselves, and we give you some tools where you go through a process where you learn a skill, not just to understand what the text says, not just merely what it means, but what it actually means to you. You know, I am so grateful that after years as a Christian, I went to seminary and a man named Howard Hendricks taught me not just how to be disciplined, but he taught me how to hear God's voice in Scripture. And I learned some tools that transformed my entire life. And we want to put that in your hands. It's absolutely free. We want to help you grow. And Dave, why don't you give him some information about how to get it?
Sure. Well, this online video course, How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture, really is a great resource. No matter how long you've been reading the Bible, what Chip shares will take your ability to discern God's voice and take your faith to a whole new level. Now, you can do these 5 video sessions on your own time, at your own pace. As your relationship with God deepens, your confidence will increase, and you'll actually begin to look forward to spending time with Him. Just go online to livingontheedge.org and take your next step toward hearing God speak to you through His Word. Now, here are Chip and Ryan with a final application.
As we close today's program, Ryan, first of all, thanks for being with us. And you said something that really struck me. You said we naturally fall into the rhythms of the world around us. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, there's a rhythm, there's a pace to our culture, to our world, to our country it's unseen, but it's all around us. And if we're not aware, we just get caught up into that rhythm. And what's the challenge is, the reason this is such a big deal, is we never drift into a better version of ourselves. We never drift into a place where we're, you know, becoming more like Christ. It doesn't just happen automatically. And that's the lie we tend to believe in. Mm-hmm. And it takes intentionality, awareness of the rhythms of my life, and are they producing the life and the life of Christ in me that I long for them to produce?
So we have to actually be aware of our rhythms and break some old ones and then start some new ones, which is what this whole series is about. Maybe personally, before we talk about how to help others, what are some rhythms either you've had to break or start in order to see Christ formed in you?
Yeah, well, I think one of the rhythms in my life is back to your first sermon of spending time with Jesus in His Word. Mm-hmm. And I remember all the way back as a college student, I began this rhythm of before I study, before I, you know, I had to study every single day, so I would spend time with Jesus. And that rhythm has set up a foundation of getting to know God and His Word and developing that intimacy in my life.
Well, I can't wait for our listeners to hear very specific ways, not only with their time, their money, their patterns, maybe even getting off our phones a little bit more, but there are rhythms that we can change that this desire to know God actually can be experienced. In fact, after this series, I got to visit your church, and a young gal came up to me, and she was so excited, and she stopped me and your mom, and she said, you know, when you and Ryan taught that on the sacred rhythms, I started getting in the Bible every morning just for 15 minutes. It's changed my whole life. So Thanks so much, Ryan, and look forward to the days ahead.
Absolutely. What a joy.
At Living on the Edge, we're happy to let you know about a new way to listen to our extended teaching podcast. Hear Chip anytime on Amazon's Alexa Echo and Echo Dot. Simply say, Alexa, enable the Chip Ingram podcast. Once Alexa's enabled with that skill, all you need to say is, Alexa, play the Chip Ingram podcast. And you'll hear that day's extended teaching anytime you want. Well, be sure to join us again on Monday as we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.